The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. This is one of those shows that I enjoy most every day doing this. I do. And even the days where I'm kind of off a little bit, I love doing this. People say, when are you going to stop? I'm not going to stop. And today's reasons why. Paula Bovin is going to join us from the Paris Olympics. And I'm going to chop it up with Paula. That'll be great. She's one of my favorite people through the years, Professor Paula. I saw that AZ Central wised up and has brought her back to do a little bit of work, which is great. So we'll talk about Paris, how it's going over there for her, and all that. And then Mark Tucker is going to be with us today. Those that, when you know, you know. So when I say Mark Tucker, those that have been in the Valley for more than a nanosecond will say, oh, that's so great. Excited to hear what Tuck has to say, because Mark is real. If you are one of those that is just coming into or are in the high school space as a parent, or you think someday you're sitting there right now and you're 22 or 30 or whatever, and it's, yeah, one day I want to send my kids to high school and college, all that, we're going to get real, because I don't think it's talked about enough, so that the 48-year-old dude is sitting there saying, let me impress everybody at my golf game about how my son is going to this camp or that camp. And the kid has no chance of ever getting a scholarship from that place, but you want to impress somebody. The ridiculousness that goes on and the money that is wasted in that space in parenting. And I'm fully, fully able to talk about this, having just gone through 4 kids in 20 plus years in the Chandler School District as a dad. I can do this. I can do this with my eyes closed for 40 years of doing this business, of seeing the wasted money. So you might want to stick around for that. That is with Tuck. Of course, he's a Phoenix firefighter. How does he make it all work? Mark Tucker and Paula Bovin. Paula here in a few minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Man, we had a storm last night. I slept right through it, according to my wife. It was supposedly really bad, but it's about time. I just want to get that out of the way. I went to Cardinals camp yesterday, and I like Jonathan Gannon. I sat there and listened. I don't like when I go out to things how we all have to be together in the same room. I counted 40 people there yesterday with notepads and recording devices, and there's no uniqueness. There's no anything off to the side as there used to be. It's not me being old man complaining. It's just, okay, whatever he says up there, that's about as much as you're going to get. And it's usually the same old stuff. But yesterday, you know, he opened up some, and I like that. I like that. I think both Kenny Dillingham and Jonathan Gannon in year two for both of them, and they're in unique situations. When you think about it, Jonathan Gannon is with the Cardinals, who about every 3 years to 3+ years fire their coach. That's what happens here. Well, what about Bruce Arians? Bruce didn't want to be here at the end. What about Ken Whisenhunt? He didn't want to be here at the end. About 3-4 years and rinse, repeat. I actually think, you know, 4-13 record last season is a little deceiving. I am not wearing red. I'm wearing Rams colors today, and I'm not even a Rams fan. I'm not a fan of any team. So when I'm sitting there yesterday hearing Jonathan Gannon, I'm nodding my head. And then I had read where the Cardinals defense had given up 908 points in the last 2 years combined. Think about that. That's like pick your job off the floor. 900. Well, if Kyler does this, yeah, if Kyler scores like 40 points a game, maybe. Talk about a sieve. So, yeah, they're interesting this year. They weren't interesting last year to me, really. It's, okay, what's the coach going to do? I like what the general manager did a year ago. It's been about 15 months of what appears to be stability. There was stuff towards the owner from the NFL offices and accusations of a former employee and all of that. But if I can just see the coach and if I can just see the general manager and not see the owner at all, I think they're going to be okay. And eventually the owner will do what's happened in that organization for as long as I've been here, which is 30 plus years. Stuff will happen behind the scenes that none of us will see. That's how it goes. Prove me wrong. It's year six for Kyler Murray. So what? It's not as Kyler goes, so goes the Cardinals. It's a big part of it. Don't get me wrong, but they can't stop anybody. Like, I don't know. How about go from 904 points in the last two seasons down to, well, this year, how about it's, 300? Is that about right? 17 games, 10 points a game at 340. How about that? How about that as a number? And that's just why I'm sitting here looking at it. I am pretty much on the fence with Paul Seawald being done. I know in this role, we're supposed to just lose our minds. Last night, I'm watching the Royals and Diamondbacks, and it was a tremendous comeback by the Diamondbacks last night. Tremendous. It looked like they were done. Gabriel Moreno gets a two-run double, and then Marte hits one to center field. It was a bomb and a half, and the Diamondbacks just need to close it out. They're up 8-4. They were losing 4-3. They were going to lose a series to the Royals. Royals are pretty good. Bobby Witt's really good. Man. And Seawald comes in again, and you're just saying, okay, in the back of your head, when it gets to September 20th, and they're a game and a half up in the wild card, because I don't think they're going to catch the Dodgers. I still think the Dodgers are gettable, but that really shouldn't be the goal. You just have to get into the wild card. Do I believe that with a game and a half up on September 20th or a game and a half back on September 20th, that Paul Seawald is just going to come in and blow everybody away and they're going to move on? No. Once again, last night turned into an adventure. Once again. And they can defend all they want, but they need another arm or two in the back end of the bullpen. It's hard for me to say get him out of here because closers go through their ups and downs. It's hard for me to say Justin Martinez today is the closer. I've written it. I've said it. He's the future closer. Love where he is. What happened last Sunday in Chicago is going to happen. You're going to blow games. But man, when I'm watching that team last night, it's just, and they pull it out because Ketel Marte is an MVP candidate. He won't win it. Otani's going to win it. Bryce Harper is going to win it. But Ketel Marte is having an MVP-type season. Without Ketel Marte, where is this team right now? Let's just be honest, if you've watched them at all. But they've won 13 of their last 15 series. They're 23-13 since the All-Star, since June 1st, I should say. And now they come home tomorrow, and they have Pittsburgh. They have Pittsburgh, a team that's right there with them in the wild card. Skeens isn't pitching for the Pirates this weekend. They miss him. Then they get the Nationals, who stink, and then they go back to Pittsburgh. Six games in the next nine, six of the next nine are against a team that's right there with them in the wild card chase. And the deadline is Tuesday. And for me, yeah, I got to add something. I got to add something in the bullpen. I think Suarez has come around over at third base. I think the logjam in the outfield, you could look at and say, man, who can you part with? And you can't part with Corbin Carroll. If Corbin Carroll hits 230, he's still right around 210. You can't take his speed off the bases when he gets on. You cannot take his defense out of the way. You can't take his aggressive style off the field. You can't do that. People are like, oh, he just needs to bench him. Look, I love the depth that they have in the outfield now that Alec Thomas is back, but Corbin's got to be out there. If Corbin hits 230 or thereabouts, I think they get a little bit more offense. A lot's falling on Marte. And Walker's had a good season, so they're fun. They are a fun team to watch. The Olympic Games, and then we'll get to Paula Bovin, speaking of which. Coco Gauff and LeBron James are the ones that are bringing in the flag. We're all going to watch the Olympic opening ceremonies. Katie Ledecky should be a person bringing in the flag, but Katie Ledecky, to her credit, said, no, I'm swimming Saturday morning. I don't need to walk in the Olympic Games. I'm here to win gold. That's that. I don't take it personal. Not bad choices. And we know that if the USA men's basketball team doesn't win, and they haven't played great, And I saw where Steve Kerr said this morning, it's time for us to step up our game. That sounds great. That sounds like NBA basketball around April 5th. Okay, the playoffs are 2 weeks away. We've been through this worthless regular season stuff. Let's get ready to go. It's kind of how it feels. And so when you have that approach, is it just simply flick a switch or do they get ambushed? So be interested in that. Paula Bovin, Mark Tucker, that is all straight ahead. If anything on this show gets screwed up, it's Jared Nielsen's fault. He is the chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Make sure you check out our content on the site at sports360az.com. We're back with Paula Bovin from the Olympics next. Look who dropped in. It's Professor Paula. She's at the Olympic Games. I saw your byline in AZ Central. I was like, yes. And then I see that you're killing it over at the Olympics. Just want to chop it up with you. How you been?
I've been great. A bit exhausted, you know, doing the whole overseas thing is briefly challenging, but it's amazing being in Paris right now. Like this town, I was just looking out the window. This town is crazy. The city is crazy about the Olympics and just the way they're setting everything up. They got, you know, Snoop Dogg carrying the torch. They've got, you know, celebrities left and right dropping in. It's going to be a really fun time.
Hey, who have you rubbed shoulders with? You're like, oh my gosh.
No, I haven't, because we've only been here for a few days. And because we, you know, we're leading a group of student reporters, they don't give us like the credentials to go into events. So what we're doing is we're credentialed to cover practices, to cover the vibe and the scene around Paris. So that's what we're doing.
How many Olympics is this for you, Paula?
You know, this is my fourth. I've done three winter, but I had never done a summer before. And that was my one sort of regret when I, you know, kind of transitioned to teaching, that I had never got to do that. So I feel like I'm sort of satisfying that one thing I didn't get to do. And yeah, the vibe is just very different with the summer. It feels almost more of a party.
Well, that's how it should be. What were the cities of the Olympic Games that you covered? Do you remember?
Which ones I covered, did you say?
Which cities? Do you remember the cities?
Sure. I did Vancouver. I did Italy, Milan, which was amazing. I mean, they were all amazing. And then I did, Vancouver. Oh, Salt Lake City.
And Salt Lake City was just given, was it 34? I believe it is.
Yes. Yeah, and good for them. And I'll tell you, they did an amazing job. At least I thought when I was there. It's a city that's easy to maneuver. It's obviously beautiful. They had all kinds of the right accommodations. They had a lot of the infrastructure. And you know, the getting an Olympics has changed now because there's so much attention towards sort of sustainability, and they don't want a city where you have to build 5 or 10 new facilities because, as I don't know if you've seen some pictures of like. Past Olympics, there's like these abandoned facilities. It's kind of sad. So they're really picking cities now, I think, that have the infrastructures in place.
So you and I were around for the 84 Olympics in LA, not to date us, but I remember going there as a college kid to watch Olympic Games. And that's where the next ones are being held. Are you doing any advance work on that with your team on what it will be like when they come to LA in 28?
Absolutely. We, in fact, I moved to LA right after the Olympics. It was just after the month after Olympics is when I moved to LA. Absolutely. I mean, we even started the last month at the Cronkite and the Sports Bureau sort of talking about things they're doing in LA, because they too are sort of addressing structures and, you know, the talk of having, where some of those, the softball is going to be played in what, Oklahoma, or, you know, there's already some strange things happening. So, yeah.
The one sport that when you do have free time, if you do have free time, you just have to go see for the sake of seeing it. And, you know, basketball and swim are easy, but you may want to go see archery. I don't know.
Oh, there's a slam dunk of what I'm going to see. I bought tickets for one thing so far, and it is breaking. I have been waiting for breaking to come to the Olympics. I can't even tell you. We were just by the venue today. I'm really excited about that. I just think it's going to be so fun. And I mean, there is definitely a movement, as you can tell in these Olympics, of addressing a generation that has a different interest in sports, whether it's breaking, whether it's skateboarding. And they're very smart in looking at those things. So yeah, I'm fired. That's what I'm fired up about right now, I have to be honest.
So breaking, for those that aren't aware, it's break dancing.
Right, break dancing,
They
yes.
just call it breaking. Have you seen warm-ups for, have you watched some of these competitors getting ready for? Do you know anything as you walk in, or is it like, I have no clue, age, height, I have no idea?
Brad, I've been watching trials of breaking. That's how
That's
excited
what I
I am.
want to know. That's the stuff I want.
It's one of those kind of weird sports like figure skating where there's some, judgment and points involved. It's not exactly you get to this finish line or whatever, but it's about moves and creativity, athleticism, and all that. So I think the audience, not just from my generation of remembering those cheesy break-in movies, that really will embrace it. And I think there is an in the culture. I mean, ASU has like a breakdancing club, several around the campus, and they practice like on dorm floors, So I think people are going to embrace it.
Coco Gauff, LeBron James, not Katie Ledecky. So if Katie didn't have to swim Saturday morning, would she be the one walking in representing the USA? How's Coco Gauff and LeBron James been received over there from what you can tell or even on social?
I think very positively. I think there's a lot of interest in Coco Gauff, and I think LeBron is a universal name. I mean, there were three things. I was in London for a week before I came here, and since I've been at when it was in London and in Paris, there are three things that keep coming up in the Uber drivers and the French people I meet. One is our election. They're just fascinated by it. Number two is guns. They think everyone in the US is packing. I've had to reaffirm with several people that I was not. And the other is the NBA and LeBron. I mean, he is a universal voice, a universal figure. So I think people are excited about it. I don't know if I say the name Katie Ledecky out here, at least among the Parisians, that there's much of a excitement, but I think with Coco Gauff, they kind of burst onto the scene. LeBron is NBA and superstar, so I think it's been very well received.
Paula is joining us from a hostel somewhere.
I am.
And this is your little area. Are you 24/7 with just put your head on a pillow for a couple of hours? Or is it pretty structured? Because I've heard covering Olympics can be really hard. Like the hours are forever. I've heard that.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely, you get sleep when you can, and you sometimes grumble while you're doing it, but then you walk away. And I've even the last few days had to remind the students, because a lot of them came in on these Delta flights that got the IT screw up, so they were like super groggy and they're tired, and we've been walking all around the city and doing things, trying to get them, here's how you use the train, stuff like that. But we're just reminding them, you're in freaking Paris here for 2.5, 3 weeks, and there are a lot of people who would love to be here. So yeah, it's exhausting because you're kind of always on call. A lot of things are happening at night with the time change and being able to turn in stories and things like that. It's crazy, but I'm certainly not complaining, Brad,
Is
at
there,
all.
you don't complain. You don't complain. It's fine.
I got to tell you, the Parisians, I don't think they get me though, because I tend my person, as my personality, I think, is a little upbeat. It's sort of perky. They don't understand perky here. They are scared of perky, and it's just their nature to, they got to figure somebody out. So, yeah, I've had to work on my manners.
I was so happy to see your name pop up on AZ Central. It doesn't mean that you're giving up what you're doing, but you had your A game when you left. You still have your A game. How did that come to be? Because I think it's very smart and good for you.
Thank you, Brad. It was, you know, it's something that's going to just be periodic when I, you know, have the opportunity to write and they are okay with it. I will do that. I did. I missed it. This is the first time I really started missing it. It was recently. I've been so sort of self-absorbed with my job, which I love right now. And, as you know, my husband became sports editor about a month ago at AZ Central. And I think he was talking to the editor who seemed interested in maybe bringing some voices that had been with the Republic before and was, you know, brought up the idea, was supportive of the idea. And so, yeah, it's going to be here and there, but I'm excited about it because, you know, once in a while, and, you know, Brad, we have these discussions, something just sort of gets under our craw. We need an outlet. You've got your show and, you know, I couldn't really voice some of this stuff to my students. So I think that's what that column will be great for.
No, you have the title for it earlier, Perky Paula. I like that. Perky Paula.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that title.
When I do three dot thoughts, people are like, you're all over the place. Yeah, the average human being has 80,000 thoughts a day. So I'm just all over the place. What do you want?
The three dot thought. No, that's the three dot thoughts is awesome because that is sort of how our generation or this generation, excuse me, absorbs news right now. And you're always kind of breaking some things in that three dot thoughts, which I love. So it's a must read.
Before I get you out of here, where are you going to go to eat that you have just like, I have to get into this place because I'm not going to do cafeteria food. You've seen this one spot. You've heard this one spot. Where are you going?
You know, I haven't zoomed in on the place, but I've definitely been trying my share of French restaurants. The food is incredible. I mean, as I've been eating a lot of grilled octopus, which I love. There's a lot of duck around.
Do it for me. Duck doesn't do it. Calamari, I'm in on. Duck. Yeah.
And when they prepare it, with the foie gras. It's really good.
Ew.
I think I said that right.
You're back here in mid-August.
Yeah, like the 12th, I think, something like that. Yeah, so right after the games end, next day or two, a fly out.
All right. Be brilliant. Appreciate you as always. Have fun. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on, Brad. Good to talk.
There is Paula Bovin, the professor, doing her professing over at the Olympic Games. We're back with more after this time out. You know, this is one of those shows where I find favorite people of mine to catch up because I've been thinking about them. Mark Tucker is a distinguished Arizonan with the National Football Foundation. Mark Tucker is a Phoenix firefighter. Mark Tucker is the original. I should just call you the original at Hamilton. You know, that's what I should just call you. I'm going to introduce you as that, as the original.
OG, I'll roll with that.
All right. The original is with us for a few minutes. Former NFLer, USC Trojan, Arizona Rattler. I could go on. But here's the thing about Mark. He's just a good bleeping dude. That's it. That's how I'm going to introduce you. Good bleeping dude, Mark Tucker. So I want to catch up with you because it's the start of another football season. And how many years is this for you coaching, Mark?
26.
26. Why do you keep doing it?
It's just funny because the other day I was talking to Coach Mazzoni, you know, and it was the same kind of questions like, you know, why am I still out here doing this? And I get it from a lot of my former players. It's just, you know what, man, it's still fun to be with the kids. There's still a joy in fulfillment and mentoring and working with young people. You know, that was, as you and I have had conversations over the years, it pretty much was what I figured out was part of my calling. So, you know, at some point, like even my son the other day was, you know, he even asked the same thing. I said, you know what, man? I said, one of the days I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be like, you know what? This is enough. But I take it year by year. And then whenever I decide that I'm done, I'll be done.
Okay. But you've come close to being done at times, right? Because Mark, and if I call you Tuck, it's lovingly, but I'm just going to be straight with you. Look you in the eye. Mark, it's a different kid. It's a crazy parent that you're dealing with 26 years later than it was 26 years ago on day one. Or maybe it's not. Maybe I'm making too big a deal out of that.
No, you know, I've heard you. I've read your you know, the work you've done online. I've listened to you. We all know, you know, Kevin McCabe, you know, all the guys, we all converse and we all know coaches. Yeah, it's a different day and age. It's a different time. You're dealing with a different animal. You know, you do the best you can to adjust. You know, I still don't compromise, you know, my old school, you know, beliefs, whatever. Yeah, if I adjusted myself to a degree, you have to. And, you know, you make the necessary adjustments, whatever. But still, at the end of the day, it's still the old school, tried and true, you know, standards that you hold yourself to, you hold the kids to. You know, I tell the kids, you know, everybody gets kind of upset about Deion, you know, but Deion says, hey, you said you want to do this. You said you wanted to be out here. You wanted to get better. So here I am. I'm going to do the things that are necessary to make you better. Yes, I'm going to push your buttons. Yes, I'm going to, you know, push you beyond things that you do. I see things in you that you didn't see in yourself, and I'm trying to help you to reach those and attain those. So hang on for the ride.
What would you tell yourself 26 years ago? You know, you're sitting here today. What would you want to tell your younger self about coaching?
You know what? I there's nothing really that I guess I would tell myself other than the fact that I've always held true to what my coaches, you know, and I mean, I'll drop names. Nobody knows who the hell these guys are, but they mean the world to me. Jim True was my offensive line coach. Chris Ferragamo, which is Ben Ferragamo's older brother, was my head football coach and legendary high school football coach in California. And when I got into it, they told me, they said, whatever you do, they go, don't coach. They said, teach. Mm. They said, teach the guys. You know, you guys were smart guys. You guys, you know, had that aptitude. You guys picked the game up. You understood the nuances and everything that, you know, being coachable, everything that you guys, you know, brought to the game and took from the game. He says, now take that. And when you go into it, he goes, teach your players the game of football. So
there's times where I've seen you coach and he's getting a lot more out of this group than they probably have to give him. You ever look at a team and say, man, we're a little light here, but I'm going to get the most out of these guys. And do you have I'm not going to say a favorite year, but maybe players that you were, I don't know if this kid's ever going to get it. And then the light clicks on and you're, okay, this is why I am teaching. You know, this is why I do it. And if you have a couple of examples.
I can tell you that I think it was our 05. Yeah, I want to say it was our 05 group. I remember it was just, I was like, ooh, this is a different group. Like, I'm really going to have to, like, work with these guys. And at the beginning of the year, I had my reservations about how far we get. I should say it that way. And to those kids' credit, they came together, again, being coachable, you know, really, really honing in on what every kid brought to the table. And next thing I know, we're in a championship game against Brophy, you know, for a third straight year. So that was probably the most, I wouldn't say challenging, but that was a group that was the most unexpected group. Mm-hmm. One of the best groups I've had, oh man, 26 years, I've had quite a few.
You've sent on a lot of guys to play in the NFL. It's not like you're just doing this and not having results.
Yeah. You know, Christian Westerman and Tyler Johnstone's group was a special, you know, phenomenal group. I think it was 2020. You know, Grayson Stovall, you know, I had a bunch of, you know, we had some transfers from Colorado kids that came in.
Yep.
Connor Dupree, Christian McCook. That group was, like, Connor, you know, with Dr. Dupree, that was his son. Mm-hmm. He came in and hadn't really been coached. I just remember talking to Dr. Dupree before the season. He was like, hey, Tuck, I brought him back here. He goes, you know, specifically to play for you, coach him up. got your doctorate degree. You know, I owe so much to him because he's the one who gave my start at Hamilton, my opportunity, him and John Wren. So that group is special because they came together and you know, it's kind of a mismatch of kids, like say, some kids transfers, some kids that are already there. And the way they came together, more than anything, I'll say this to the day I die, and I've told them guys that group from 2018, the whole hazing, that whole deal, and I know you talked to Tyler the other day, that group will always be the most special group that I've had because those kids hung in through thick and thin, through all the BS, and just, you know, stayed strong and true to each other. And that group, the amount of resiliency they showed, that group will forever be my favorite group just because of everything, plus the offensive line that they became, because they had, you know, they had Jawar. You know, we had a diamond office that year. So that group will forever be the most special group I've had.
Did you ever consider walking away during the hazing scandal?
No.
Yeah.
In life, man, I've been through, you know, long, you know, sense of adversity. Never once did I doubt it. You know, I knew when Vandal took over, you know, he had a lot of reservations. He was like, hey man, you know, how am I doing? Am I doing a good job? I'm like, are you kidding me? I go, dude, I go, there's not another coach in America that's built for this, you know, outside of you. Like you're the guy. And he was the glue that held that thing together. You know, very dear friend of mine. You know, he's a brother to me. And it was challenging. And you know, talking to him afterwards, I remember when the season we lost to Perry in the playoffs. I remember riding the bus back to school, and I got in my truck, man, and I put my head back on my headrest, and it was like somebody took a million pound gorilla off my back.
Hmm.
I think every coach probably felt that way. I just had the moment to decompress. I was like, holy man. I was like, wow, what a year. But you know, it was like I said, you look back at all you pull all the good out of it. Just the kids that I had a chance to work with, how they came together. We actually took two team pictures that year. Bannon took two team pictures. He took the one from in the beginning when everybody was, you know, figuring out what they were going to do, and then the one at the end of the year when the people that stuck around and actually, you know, held together, he took that, and that actually ended up being our team picture.
That's awesome. I did not know that story. Mark Tucker with us for a couple of minutes. Distinguished Arizonan with the National Football Foundation, Valley firefighter. Of course, he is the offensive line coach, the original, with us for Mark Bleeping Tucker with us. I'll just put it that. What do you say to parents in this day and age that are just coming into the high school world that you feel like they need to know? That 4 years from now, you better do these things and life will be pretty simple. Or if you don't do these things, you're going to have a bleeped up run in high school.
Be realistic about your child's ability and what their capabilities are. Everybody can try to forecast and look at somebody's dimensions and whatever size and try to project down the road. And, you know, I laugh because I always tell people, I go, and, you know, it's my little funny saying, I go, unless you put your hand in the dirt and you've had to block a three technique, don't question my coaching and don't question my capability to evaluate and get things done, because I've done it for too long. It's tempering your expectations. I get it. You know, college is expensive as hell. You know, getting your kid a full education, four-year education is paramount for a lot of people. Probably the biggest thing, man, is how you invest your time and money. You know, I know parents are running off to these camps, you know, every June. That in itself, man, probably frustrates me more than anything, because you lose your best players for a month. You know, we start workouts at the end of May when school's out. We have pretty much the whole month of June and the half of July. And then you run off to every camp known to man. And, you know, I'm not knocking it, but unless you're being invited to these camps, if you're just paying money out of pocket, you're just running, you know, you're running this world tour. You know, I get it, the exposure and, you know, all that. You know, I think unless you're invited somewhere, don't, you know, you just run off to somebody's camp to get reps, you know, got you. And at the same time, consider whose camp you're going to and the level of competition that you're going to face. Like, unless you go to a camp where there's a bunch of other D1 prospects there and you get a chance to show your skills versus somebody that is really going to, you know, challenge you and give you a chance to put that work out there. You know, it's, you know, if you're going against a kid who's, you know, never going to see the field next year, then, you know, the next season, but he's just at this camp because he's trying to get exposure too. Yeah, I know you can't control some of those factors, but just that whole.
Mark, how much, know, let me jump in here. How much of it is my boat is bigger than your boat? And the neighbor that you're saying that to doesn't even like you. meaning, oh, my kid is going to this camp because we're all that. And at Bunko on Tuesday night, we're going to say, did you know that my kid went to this camp? I've run into that where it is the insecurity of parents who want to use their son or even their daughter in given sports. We got invited to this. We got a tour of this. We don't care. It doesn't mean anything. It's a waste of money. How much of that do you see? Because I see way too much of that going on. Impress each other.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I noticed that a long time ago on social media, just on Twitter, in of itself, and it's just like, I get it. Yeah, you know, we all want our kids to have better and do better and everything else. But a lot of times, these parents get caught up because they got their social media. They got their friends that they, you know, hang out with, you know, whatever it is that they're involved in. And they want to be able to say, hey, you know, little Johnny's doing this and Sally Sue she's off, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, we all know nobody gives a rat's ass, you know, and it's like, you know, it's the same thing with all the offers. Nobody cares about how many offers you got. I mean, I, you know, I'm sorry. You know me, Brad, you know, matter of fact, yeah. I don't care if you got one offer, if you got 50 offers, yeah. You're going to pick one school. You're going to sign your letter of intent, and you're going to go there, and 9 times out of 10 in this day and age, your ass is probably going to hop up and be in the portal because coach is going to say, you know, you ain't going to like the way he says something to you or how he talks to you, or you think you're being shanghaied, so you're looking for the next best opportunity. You know, it's just, you and I both know we're at a sad state with this man. That's why, you know, I coach for the essence of coaching. And
yeah. Where do you think it goes once NIL is ruled legal here in Arizona? Because I'd be naive to think, Mark, that there aren't high school kids getting paid now, or parents, I should say parents. I'd be naive to think there aren't some under the table deals today or 5 years ago of high school kids here in the Valley that are being shopped around and pushed around and finding money. The AIA says eventually it's going to be legal. So what do you think it happens when it's at Hamilton and Mark Tucker's there and some dad is saying, hey, man, how much are you going to pay my kid to come here? He's 15.
That's the day I hang him up. I'm serious. I talked to a very prominent coach who's now retired, who coached at a very prominent school out here. I'm not putting his name out there. Yeah. We had a conversation, a good friend of mine, and I asked him, why, you know, he stepped away, and, you know, he was such a, you know, he was a dear friend and a challenger coach against. And he said, he had a dad, you know, mention that, start talking about NIL. And it was, you know, it was like getting the kid ready so that we can get him, you know, get him college ready so he can get out here and get this NIL. And he was just like, wow, this is what it's come to, huh? So he was like, you know what? It's time to walk. You know, and the thing about it, the average NIL is what, $3,000 or $4,000?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I've given you a gift from God, so you better use my gift from God that we've been able to drop off at your campus and turn into something. You guys don't realize how fortunate you are to have my kid, right? The stuff that is out there. I love getting real with you about this. How much longer are you going to do firefighting?
I got 9 or 10 more years, about another 10 years.
10 years? You're captain, right? I want to make sure.
No, I was going to test for captain. I don't know if I'm going to promote, try to promote now or not. A lot of things that go into being promoted because you lose some seniority and things of that nature. And so I'm gaining seniority as an engineer. So I haven't completely ruled out the possibility of promoting. The wonderful part about it is a lot of great people in our department, are still nudging me and, kind of like, hey, man, something to really think about. And for people to think that, put you in a leadership, want you in a leadership position like that, they think highly of you. That in and of itself says a lot. It means a lot to me. It's humbling, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the thing about it, man, every third day when I get in that truck, man, I start that truck when I drive down the street and see lights and sirens, I'm still like, I still shake my head. I'm like, you drive a fire truck for a living. Like, I never in my life, like, that was not something as a kid growing up that I even fathomed. It's like pretty damn cool.
No, it's if you need a nudge, I'll just start calling you Captain Mark Tucker.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's what I'll do. I'll call, instead of Mark Bleeping Tucker, I'll just call you Captain. Hey, Cap, what's going on?
That's a big hat to wear, man.
All right, I'll get you out of here off that. I appreciate your time and insights as always. Good chopping it up with you. Thanks.
You too. Appreciate you too, big dog.
Here's Mark Tucker, and we're back with more after this timeout.